Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you thanks and we praise you this evening, Father. Thank you, first of all, for this day, Father. You blessed us to wake up this morning, Father God. You blessed us to see this beautiful day. You blessed us to be here tonight together, Father God, centered around your word, Father, to hear, to learn, and to do, to go out and do, Father. Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity. Thank you for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that even if we've just passed the time that we recognize and remember and acknowledge Jesus' death and resurrection, we still remember, Father God. And thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you, Father God, also that tonight you have put in me what you would have for us to hear. Again, I thank you for your anointing on the word, Father God. I thank you that you would speak through me and only have me to say what you would have me to say, Father God, and only have me to do what you would have me to do. I release myself fully and completely to you, Father. By your Spirit, take control of my lips, my thoughts, my heart, and all that I am. And I just thank you, Father God. I come against all the plans and the works of the enemy now, Father God. I call all of his plans null and void and ineffective now in Jesus' name. That's authority that you've given us over him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that only what you desire to happen tonight, only what you desire to be said tonight, only what you desire to be received tonight, Father God, will occur in the name of Jesus. Thank you for blessing this service time, Father. Also, Father, as always, my desire is to convey the spirit and the vision that you've put on the pastoral team over this house, Father. And I just thank you, Father, once again, in Jesus' name. All that I've done. Amen. All right, I've entitled tonight's message, A Tale of Two Temptations. A Tale of Two Temptations. Anybody know what a tale is? What did it say, untrue? Anybody else? I'm gonna tell you that she's halfway right. But that was good. Anybody else? Huh? A story, yep. And it could be true or not true. I used to think that tales are always, you know, because they have those folks that are tattletales. Yeah, tattletale. But really, they're telling what they saw. They're just telling, you know, it's the truth. So a tale can be true or not true. This, because it's from the Bible, is true. These two tales are true. So before we get into them, though, I just want to also say that this church, just from my observation, person that's been here for a while, is going through, we've entered into a very, very exciting time. I mean, I know that it's different, but it's a really, really good, different. Yeah. Not that what we had before wasn't good, because it was really, really good. That's how we got here. That's how we got this building. This building was built by faith. But I pray that you would latch on to what the men and women of God are teaching us. You know, latch on to it. I even pray, this is what I pray, God, help me to understand and see as they see it, you know, because there are some things that I don't understand, but I've learned over the years, not to kick it to the side just because I don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? Anybody understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you see something and you don't understand it and automatically your mind wants to kind of reject it. You know, I've learned, because what I've learned over time is, you get the revelation of, okay, that's why. okay, God, that's what you were doing. You know, so latch on tight. Okay? Yeah. All right, so I'm going to start off in Genesis, the second chapter, and the 15th verse. Genesis, the second chapter, 15th verse, is a tale of two temptation. This particular scripture talks about it. It's like, it, you know, in the beginning, when God was creating the heavens and the earth, and he created Adam, and he gave Adam some instructions. And I want to point out a couple of things that happened here. Okay. Genesis 2nd chapter, starting at the 15th verse, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree," listen to this, "of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat." Boy, listen to these instructions, because I'm telling you, it's important to get the word and not get the word mixed up. Because for a long time, you know, and there are still people that say it, that say, the money is the root of all evil. Is that right? Is that correct? Is that how the scripture goes? How does the scripture go? The love of money. So what did that do to people that didn't know that full scripture? Oh, no, I can't, you know, I don't need money. Don't give me no money. I don't need to make them. Let me just, mosey along and so if you don't know the full scripture, if you don't get it right, amen? But it's important to know what God is saying and to remember what God is saying. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." You hear what he said? You shall surely die. This is the instruction that God gave to Adam. Is Eve there right now? She's not. Eve's not there. "And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird in the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." That's pretty powerful, by the way. God gave man that, ability to call things. And God didn't go behind him and say, "Nope, can't be that, Adam. Nope, that's not a horse. That's a cow. No, that's not a sheep. That's a cat." No, God didn't do that. Whatever, look at what it says. Whatever Adam called it. Whatever Adam called it. And that's the power that we have. We have the power to call. We don't use that power like we should. We don't use that ability like we should. And Shorter talks about it all the time. Pastor Don talks about it all the time. Pastor Shorter talks about it all the time. We got to start talking more. God has given us that power, that ability. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds, to the air, birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now remember, this scripture started out by God saying it's not good for man to be alone. And so, and God created all these other, animals. And Adam was looking around like, okay, no, that's not going to work. You got four legs. I only have two. That's not going to work. You got a little bit too much hair. Sheep, you're not comparable to me either. And didn't find one comparable to him. And then God said, this is what I'm going to do. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. You know, we can extract some things out of this scripture here. And it's not what we're talking about, but you know, and I saw that you know, Eve was you know, God took a rib out of Adam. And I said to myself, well, that's the man's got to go around doing, but he doesn't have a wife. He's got to say, where's my rib? Where's my rib? I'm looking for my rib. God's got a sense of humor. I just can't. So now Eve is on the scene, but God has already given instructions to Adam. Right? And at some point, you know, Eve must have got those instructions, because she did, you know, we're going to see that she did, you know, she did kind of quote the scripture. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And that's why the devil used the serpent. There's another translation that says more subtle. You know, things that are subtle, you know, they can kind of sneak up on you. You know, you don't know that they're, you know, not good for you, because it's subtle. Just kind of creep up on you. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, listen to that. Has God indeed said, he starts off with making you question what God has said. He starts off by making you question what God has said. That's why it's so important to get the word in your, you know. I'm telling you, for the life of me, I could not understand why there were not more people here at three nights at the cross. I really couldn't understand it. I thought that, you know, I mean, not that the church would be packed out, but I thought more people would come. And you know, but we got to get a hunger for the word. A message that Pastor Don taught a couple Sundays ago, April 6th, kind of touched on that too. I think it was April 6th, it was Sunday. And it just talked about the word, about coming, to God's table. And there's something in that message, and I want to make sure I get it right, but he said, and please correct me if I'm wrong, sir, the blood, you know, is, see, how did it go? The blood is for, to save you. Yeah, basically, yeah. Yeah, the blood is to save you. Now, I don't know if that's the word, but the bread, the word, yeah. And we're, and a lot of us, we are saved. That's what I got from that. And I'm like, it's still with me. A lot of us are missing out on the bread. If you haven't gone back and listened to that message, I'm telling you, go back and listen to it, because there's so much more in it. April 6th, I believe it's still on the website. Everybody know how to go to the website, right, and click, and yeah. But it just reminds you that how important getting the word is. And so many people just kind of shoo-shoo the word. That's my word. That's a southern word. Just kind of shoo-shoo. Just kind of put off the word. You know, like, oh, I've heard that before. Like Pastor Don said, I've heard that before. You know, and don't get the revelation, the new revelation that God has. So. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? That's the first thing he's going to do. He's going to question your knowledge of the word. Whether or not you even know the word, first of all. He's going to try to cast some doubt as to whether or not you got the word right. That's why you got to get it in your heart. We got to get it in our hearts. Because otherwise, when it's time to bring it up, when we need it, like say for, you know, for health or for a job or anything that we're believing for or someone that we're praying for, you know, or for the church or for corporate prayer or, you know, for your spouse or for, you know, a family member, we need to know which word to, you know, to bring up. And then don't let the devil come back and say, oh, yeah, no, that's not right. Because he's going to come and try to tell you all kind of stuff. That doesn't work. See, it hasn't changed anything yet. You still got that issue. You still don't have that job. Your relative's still sick. They're still not saved. He's going to try to tell you all that. I remember when I was believing for a wife, and it was 10 years before it happened, and he kept telling me, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. She ain't coming. You can just forget it, man. It's been almost, you know, it's been 5 years now. It's been 7 years. It's been 9 years. She still ain't coming. Then, boom. All of a sudden. I'm talking about when you, because I could have just went and, you know, married anybody. Pastor Shorty wasn't going to go for that. Pastor Shorty, like, that's not happening. I thank God for that. I thank God for that so much. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat. We just look past a lot of stuff in scripture. I'm still like, she's talking to a serpent. Why is he talking? How is he talking? You know, sometimes we just look past stuff in the Bible. Not, you know, I don't know how that happened. What happened? We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it. Now, I don't know anywhere in the scripture where God said, you shall not touch it. But, you know, she was still close, though, you know, that you lest you die. And, you know, I looked up that word lest, because I don't know if you guys watch Columbo, but I watch Columbo, and Columbo just kind of pick at, you know, every little thing. If you ever watch Columbo, he just kind of picks at every little thing. So I just said, well, let me see what that word less means. And it's less, I was asking myself, I just asked, it's less as strong as what God said, you shall surely die. That's what he said back in Genesis the second. And then Eve is saying that he said, lest you die, you know, there's a chance that you might die, seems like. Maybe you shall not touch it, lest you die. I don't know, sometimes I think I pick a little bit too much, but then the serpent said to the woman, you will not, look at what he's saying. Look at what he's saying. Somewhere she learned the word, either from her husband or maybe, you know, the scripture didn't say so, but either from her husband or God told it to her, or, you know, but somewhere she learned it because she was able to repeat it, Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now, it's easy to convince someone to sin if they already want to sin. And Satan knows what our triggers are, what our go-tos are. And he tries to push them, you know, just like Google. Google knows, you know, but, you know, that's why they send you those news feed. That was another thing that Pastor Don said, by the way. I'm like, oh my goodness, what are you being fed? And we get these news feed. And so I had to think about how much of these news feed, you know, because if they see that you like it, they're going to keep sending it to you. I like news about certain stuff, you know. And so you get those news feed, but how much are you getting fed that stuff? And I really had to think about that. I think we all need, in this day of social media, we need to think about how much feed we're getting from stuff we shouldn't be feeding off of. Amen? I'm telling you, you really need to go back and listen to that April 6th message. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now, who are you going to believe? Either she got the information from God or her husband, and then a serpent. Have you already bent toward wanting to do it? And he's going to make it so much easier for you. He's going to make it look good. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will... Let me just stop and say this. God had given me this. God had given me this message a long time ago, and I'm always blessed when I hear my pastors, Pastor Don, Pastor Schroeder, Mrs. Schroeder, you know, teach on it before I teach on it, because that just kind of, you know, say, okay, yeah, you're on the right track. You know, we don't carry the anointing that they carry. So, you know, but I'm always thankful that I feel like I'm on the right track. Amen. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. All right, so that was one temptation. Remember, this is a tale of two temptations. She failed. They failed because, you know, they bit of the fruit. And, you know, and that's how the curse came about. Now let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. We're going to see another person who was tempted by the devil. Luke, fourth chapter, starting at the first verse. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if, see that word if? There we go, trying to put some doubt in Jesus' mind. Now, Pastor Shorter said this a long time ago, which was a big, 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 big relief for me. He said, you know, you don't have to feel bad if you were tempted, as long as you don't, you know, follow through with that temptation. Because Jesus was tempted. The Bible says he was tempted in every way. That was a big, 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 you know, I'm like, that was a big, like, God, why am I being tempted so much about stuff? And that set me free. And the devil said to him, he's talking about Jesus here. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. That's what he said. Now look at what Jesus did. But Jesus answered him and said, saying, it is written. He went to the word. Man shall not live by bread alone. Again, going back to that April 6th message. Man shall not live by this physical bread alone, because we eat a lot of bread. Cheese toast, grilled cheese, ham and cheese, egg sandwich. Yeah, that's right, PB&J. Right, that's the classic. Yeah, we eat some bread. Of course, you know it's not just talking about bread, right? It's talking about food. Man should not live by bread alone, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. That's what Jesus said. Now, let's see where Jesus got that from. He's in the New Testament, so he didn't get it from the New Testament, because the New Testament is what's being, you know, created at that moment. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, third verse, says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone." That's where Jesus got it from. He got the word from the word to rebuff the devil. But you got to know how Satan is. It's like, okay, yeah, okay, you got that one. Am I leaving? No, I'm not. I'm coming back. Then the devil, taking him high up on the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this, now, in a moment of time, that means that he was speaking to Jesus' mind. Like, I can give you this. I can have you, you know, you can be a rock star. You know, everybody calling your name. You can have a million, you know, clicks on your social media or whatever, that likes or subscribers or whatever. I can give you all that. That's what he was saying. I can give you the world. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. But this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. And trust me, he does it to so many people. So many, even people that start off in the church, sometimes they start off in the church singing. Beautiful voices. I could name some. And their lives end up, you know, because the devil don't care about you. He use you, abuse you, and then toss you away. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The scripture, one of the scriptures that he was referring to is in Deuteronomy 6:13. It says, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall serve him with awe, filled reverence, and profound respect, and swear oaths by his name alone. That's the amplified version of that. I'm going to move a little bit faster because my time is running out quickly. Then he brought, you think that he would have left Jesus? No. So think about that when the devil is coming at you. You got to give him the word. But you got to know the word. And how do you know the word unless you come and get the word? And instead of the word, hopefully I can get to that scripture. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, here we go again, if you are the Son of God, trying to cast doubt. Jesus knew who he was. We got to know who we are. We have to know who we are. We have to know, but you know, as Christians, what God, what, you know, what we have, what we have access to, the power that we have, the authority that we have. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here. Now look at this little twist that Satan decided to do. He saw that Jesus was using the word. But look at what he says. For it is written. Now he's trying to use the word. And he knows the word. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You can find that in Psalms 91, 11, and 12. He used the word. The enemy used the word. Now, you can say, oh my goodness. Yeah, you can try to use the word when you want to do something that you're not supposed to do. You can try to use the word, you know, in your favor and say, well, God does say that whatsoever things I ask, you know, with everything I ask when I pray, believe that I receive it and I shall have it. But he also says, you know, like if you asking for something that you're not supposed to have. He also says, you know, make sure that you're not asking amidst, to bless it upon yourself or something like that. You can't, this is kind of extreme, but you can't pray to God if you're a man for another man's wife. Or if you're a woman, you can't pray to God for another man's husband. God ain't going to do that. You can say, God, you said whatsoever thing I ask for when I pray, if I believe it, you know. I know that's kind of extreme, but that's, you know. And that's what Jesus was saying here. Yes, the scripture does say that, Satan, but it also says, and Jesus answered and said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. So, and that's found in Deuteronomy 6:16, by the way, that word that Jesus used. That's why we have to have the word in us. So that we don't, you know, we're not stuttering and sputtering to get it out. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You see that? You think he's gone, but he's going to come back when you think you're weak again. Okay, I got a couple more minutes and, this went really fast and I'm going to be closing up. So, important to get the word. How do we get the word? Let's go to Romans 10, first to the fourth chapter. I'm glad to ask that question, by the way. Romans, the 10th chapter, first to the fourth verse. Then we're going to skip down 8 to the 9th verse. Then we're going to close it up with the 13th to the 15th verse. Romans, the 10th chapter, starting at the first verse. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. And not just for Israel, because we can, you know, also put this on ourselves, is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, talking about the Israelites, but not according to the knowledge, because they were living under the law, what was happening. But they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. All right, let's skip down to the 8th verse. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going somewhere. Get down to the 13th verse now. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now here we go with the questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So that's how we're supposed to get the word. When we decide on our own that we're just gonna, you know, skip out on the word, you're missing it. I'm telling you, I say sometimes we're just missing it. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Thank God we have our men and women of God. They're sent. They're called by God. Amen. I just want to say this in closing. We are blessed to have an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher. Did I miss one? And a pastor. Oh my goodness, how could I miss that one? And I was, if I have time to tell this story, I was visiting a family. You guys know what I do. I was visiting the family who lived in a little small thing. And little kid gave me a book to read, and so I sat down and I read it, and it said, you know, what is Easter all about? I didn't know that it was going to end by talking about Jesus. And then and it did, you know, and I said to myself, I don't know what about, because we can't talk religion to families, but I said to myself, if this family only knew, if they only went to the, got, you know, gathered around the table that Pastor Don was talking about and got the word, you know, they wouldn't, you know, that situation that they're in, they wouldn't have to be in it, or they wouldn't have to stay in it. All right. Go ahead, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you once again, Father. I pray and thank you that we have heard and received your word, Father. Give us a hunger for your word, Father God. To rush in, to make it a priority, Father God. Make receiving your word a priority, Father. Thank you for the men and women of God that you've set over this house, Father God, to give us the word uncompromisingly, lovingly, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen.